But the special attitude to heads and replicas of heads did not disappear with the end of the Middle Ages. The heads of famous people always have and continue to hold weight that the medieval people associated with saints and kings. Even body snatching was practiced all the way up to 20th century, which is what our next object shows. Sir Thomas Browne, a 17th century scientist, archaeologist and writer, was extremely concerned throughout his whole life with the future fate of his body. This is not unusual for a 17th century Christian who still stands with one leg in the Middle Ages. Born in 1605, a mere 2 years after the death of Elizabeth I, Thomas had an interest and an apparent belief in witchcraft, alchemy, and other supernatural powers. The supernatural power he himself seems to have had, however, remained unknown until the 19th century. His concern about the fate of his bones turned out to be prophetic, and his skull was destined to spend 88 years away from the rest of his body. Below Sir Thomas Browne's memorial in the sanctuary of the Church of St. Peter Mancroft, a tablet records the death in 1840 of Mary Bowman. During the digging of her grave, the workmen accidentally damaged a coffin and took out the skull and memorial plate. Although it was in Latin, the workmen knew at once that this was the body of none other than the famous physician and polymath, Sir Thomas Browne. This find immediately sparked the interest of Robert Fitch, who was a parishioner at St. Peter Mancroft, present at the excavation, and a chemist by trade. His interest in the skull was by no means unusual. The first half of the 19th century was the golden age of the so-called cranioclepty, a specific type of grave robbery aimed at collecting the skulls of the great and noteworthy, apparently out of scientific interest. The spurious science of phrenology was then very popular, along with the infamous area of eugenics. Robert Fitch, a man of science of the time, was most eager to study the skull. By 1845, it found its way to the Norfolk and Norwich Hospital, where it remained until the new vicar of St. Peter Mancroft finally insisted on its reinterment in the chancel in 1922. While it was in the museum, several plaster casts of it were made, because Mr. Fitch was not the only one interested in a phrenological or eugenic study of the famous man's head. UCL's skull, then, was born into a large family. We know very little about when exactly and how it made its way to the anthropology collection of the college. However, we can speculate that it was purchased because of UCL's involvement in the study of both phrenology and eugenics. In simple terms, phrenologists studied the lumps and bumps in people's skulls in the belief they gave insight into a person's character or intellectual abilities, while eugenists believed it was possible to use phrenologists' data to identify and destroy allegedly inferior groups of people. UCL has a large collection of objects acquired specifically for this purpose by Francis Galton, the founder of eugenics at UCL.